Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Here's the thing. I've got this whole message prepared right here. But I came in here this morning a little bit, you know, just feeling a little tension spiritually, if I could say it like that. I don't need this. I'm wired for sound. I don't need this. Make sure I'm coming forward everywhere. But I felt like this. I felt like God wanted me to share some testimonies. And we've been teaching on covenant. And I'm not going to say that I'm not going to teach any of this because I don't know what he's going to do and I don't know how you're going to respond. But you know what I do know? When he says something to me, I do that. And so if I can hear him and I don't have any questions, you know, does anybody in the room ever have the mind that says, was that me or was that God? I mean, we do it all the time. And I'm just going to tell you, most of the time, it ain't you. You're not that big and you're not that good. You know, he's good. And when he's speaking, if it's something about giving or it's something about moving in a direction that might intervene in someone's life or something that it might cost you something, but you know it's going to be really good on the other side for people and for yourself, it's probably him. You're welcome. It's just a little bit of wisdom that I learned this much in my lifetime. And so there's times we're trying to teach up here about covenant and how God creates blood and promises, and he never goes back once he puts it in motion. And we love him for it. I mean, there are covenants we talked about last week. You know, the very first thing God does when he makes Adam is he cuts him open. He has surgery. He opens up his side and pulls out a rib and makes a woman. The first covenant, blood and a promise. The blood comes from opening the body and pulling out Eve. The promise is, here's your mate for the rest of your life. That's pretty cool. These things are not trivial or common. They're actually awesome, and they're holy to the Lord. Covenant one, you know, he tells Adam and Eve, you can have everything here, but just don't eat of that tree. Everything else but that. Why does God do that? Why torture us with cake, Lord? Why have it on the earth? It's like, if we're not supposed to eat it, why is it there? Well, that we might choose life. I've set before you life and death. Choose. God doesn't want robots. He wants worshipers. He wants us to come before him and offer ourselves in a way that we actually are transformed into the image of his likeness until he comes. He actually wants us to worship him. And so when we're putting, you know, covenant after covenant out, how God does it, what did he set in motion after Adam and Eve disobeyed? A covenant of grace. He didn't kill them for disobeying him. He didn't cut them off completely. He said, you can't live in the garden anymore. Because if you do, then you're going to know everything and live knowing that you failed the rest of your life. God's mercy makes the life 70 years. We cross this threshold of this life to the other one. And so we're talking about covenants. You know, the story of Noah and the ark, when God actually said he was sorry that he made people. That broke my heart. I don't want to be a person that God is sorry that he made. I want to be one that he says, good job. Well done, faithful. And so Noah goes on the ark. You guys know that story. They're living on water world for a while. And after the ark lands on Mount Ararat, Noah and his sons come out. And they're the ones that the earth is populated from that point. And you know what God did? He set a rainbow in the sky. And he said, here's my promise, my covenant promise between me and you, that I will not destroy all flesh again with water. There will never be another flood that takes over the whole earth, no matter what anyone ever says, because God put the covenant between man and himself. I won't do it, he said. And it's holy to him. Everything he does is holy. When we started talking about Abraham, this is just review from last week, okay? And I have some stuff to share with us, and I feel like it's important. It's some of the foundational stuff that as we come to know God and we start to follow him, we have to know that we're in covenant with something bigger than us. Okay? Did you know that? Because if you don't know that, you're just walking around making up your own rules as you go. And you are not that great. You cannot even make a flower. So you need someone who's bigger than you to cover you, because he can do everything. And if you hang around him, you can cast out the devil, man. You can make the way straight. You can speak life. You can have a discerning spirit. You can prophesy. You can speak a word of knowledge. You can speak a word of wisdom. You can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. You can anoint things with oil and demons disappear. That's the kind of life I like. I like to live in that life with a covenant with somebody bigger than me. I don't have any power, but I have all the power. See what I'm saying? Because he in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? So I felt like God gave me this word, because here I am ready to charge forward and explain to you how you can be grafted in to the covenants of God. And it's a great message. It's a good word. But what if we put that on pause just for a second and we said, Lord, how can we put brick upon brick and add a new covenant when I haven't even broken my old covenants yet? See, we're sitting here living under old covenants, things we've done in secret, things that have been broken. When a covenant is broken, there's a lot of pain. And believe me, I know this firsthand. You know, I haven't always been faithful my whole life. You know, I have to walk through things, you know, with people that I break promises to. I've broken trust in my life. Have you ever done it? Don't look at me like, Pastor. Listen, I'm a child of God, but I know where I came from. And it was a dark place. Talk about debauchery, man. It was a lifestyle love. And I even relished in it. And so when I came to know the Lord, there was not an easy path. There were demons hanging on every side, trying to hold me down, trying to keep me away from the covenant promises of the Lord. And I remember what he did. So when I sing a song, I know a name. Man, do I know a name. It's the only name that I know. It's the name that you say in the middle of the night. That's why when I look at you and you look paralyzed sometimes, I can't even worship and frozen. And I just want that to burst off of us. Not that you have to be a fool and jump around in a circle. That's somebody else. That's Stacy's job. Not a fool, but I mean, Stacy's the free one up here in the big. Okay, I get it. You do what you got to do. We try to encourage that kind of activity so it doesn't take away from worshiping him. His glory is his, right? All that just to say, if we're paralyzed in fear and we're broken in spirit and we have old covenants, they have to come down so that a new covenant can be built. Does that make sense? Y'all tracking with me? So in my life, here's what happened. Now look, there will be a response in a moment. And this thing happens to me from time to time. It's been a while. I had somebody call me recently, and I will blame her for this particular session that we're getting ready to go through. But it was a woman of God that speaks prophetically. And I've grazed pastor at different conferences and events, but she looked me up on Messenger, and she called me and she goes, hey, may I have your phone number? I'd like to speak with you. And I was like, yes and yes. I always want to see what the man or woman of God wants to tell me, and especially in a prophetic way. And here's what she said. She goes, I'll get a flow going as we talk, but she said, you know, you're a prophet trapped in a pastor's body. Easy, Mom. You're a prophet trapped in a pastor's body, and I've listened to her. She said, you've had labels put on you, not recently, but a long time ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and they weren't true. They weren't labels that you should have received, but you took them because people spoke things over you, like, well, don't come out here like a bull in a china cabinet, like you got all the answers, and in your mind you thought, well, what are you, glass? Am I a bull and you're made of glass? I mean, but what you did is you changed, and she's right. Nobody, even people that know me, could not have said the stuff that she said to me. There's just no way. Is this interesting? It didn't matter. I don't care if it's interesting. It's what the Lord said to do, so I'm going to do. I'm sorry. I'm not going to test it. Okay. So, you know, she said she couldn't have pulled it together even if she knew me. I couldn't even have threaded this thing together the way she did. And she said, you know, you've had labels put on you, like bull in a china cabinet, like things that were not meant for you. And what you did is you changed your path way back then so that you could be more palatable. And I'm like, well, that's one of my least favorite words. You know, it's like generic. It just, it doesn't really suit. And I don't really like to think of myself as a soft cracker dipped in milk kind of Christian. I feel like I got a little crunch. I feel like I got a little sauce. You know, I feel like I got something with the Lord. And so when she said that, you changed your trajectory to be more palatable so you could stay in ministry because you loved God. But while you're pastoring, pastoring and prophesying are not the same, okay? So you can imagine this conundrum with which lives this one girl. So pastoring cares about you. It shelters you, shepherds you, speaks life to you, listens to your problems over and over again, prays, brings scripture, puts an arm around whatever I got to do to love you and care for you, and I do. Prophets don't do that. Prophets go, that's wrong. Get that out. Move on to what God has called you to do. And then they encourage you that you can indeed do it because the Lord has come. So internally, that is a conundrum. And so she said, after all these years of pastoring, you know, there's been a lot of grace that's come along. And so now, with all the grace that you have acquired over all of these years of pastoring, God didn't forget what he called you to do in the first place. And there's enough grace now to hold the gift that he gave you in the first place. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but I'll tell you what it means to me. It means when I'm up here preaching and I'm talking to you, there are times that I can see stuff hanging over your head like a cloud. And I can see it festering. It's like, okay, I thought I had cataracts for a while. I'd go back and try to, you'll see me, I'll try to clean my glasses. Is that in my glasses? No, it's not. It's in the spirit. And so what that means, you know, I can come to you and I can tell you that I see that, or I can continue to pray. A prophet will come to you and tell you that they saw it, and they'll start to speak to it and remove it from your life. In this house, I have authority. In your house, I don't. In your house, you have authority. You have the same God living in you that I have living in me. But if I keep teaching about authority, but I never give you a demonstration of it, how in the world are you going to go home and break old covenants to get a new one I'm trying to lay down? And the Lord's trying to lay it down, even more importantly. Does that make sense, church? So what happens is, you know, in this room right now, in this room, in this very second, some of us have clouds. And I believe they're demonic presence. How dare you think a demon can come in this church? Well, I do forbid any work. So if it does come in, you brought it. And if you brought it, it's just hanging there because you gave permission. Look how distracting it'll start to get when we start talking about this stuff. Man, I love this stuff. So here's what I'm going to offer. I believe that God wants to set us free. And I want to have a moment of just prayer and dedication to removing substance from you that doesn't belong to you in the name of Jesus. It's a little bit off notes. It's way off notes, if I'm telling you the truth. When I was young and I came into the kingdom, I had a lot of demonic weight on my shoulders and on my life, in my heart. See, my mom, I can't remember exactly how the story goes, but don't correct me now, just correct me later if I get it wrong, Mom. And here's something like this. Like, my grandmother was supposed to learn voodoo. Okay? But something came up, because you have to be the seventh daughter of a seventh daughter. This stuff is real. You think this stuff is just some of the scary movies that you watch? No, it's real. And people may not believe it, but when they start experiencing things, then they believe it, and then they come in here asking for help. I've had people come in this room that don't come and worship now. Where's that gratitude? I don't know. But where is it? People have come in here with markings on their stomach and on their legs. And I was like, ooh, what's that? I don't know. It just came after we visited the graveyard and stole something from it. Hey, maybe you should take that back and in the name of Jesus come off of her, and it comes off. You know, those are not, it's not powerful because I said it. It's powerful because I know a name. It's the same name that you know. Well, now let me come back to that story about my own freedom in a second. I heard a lady this week talk about this. She said, the same devil that we deal with today is not the one that Jesus dealt with. Okay, Jesus dealt with the devil who had been sent to earth and had authority. He was the prince of the power of the air. That's why when he said to Jesus on the mountain, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. And Jesus didn't argue. He didn't. He said, man shall not live by, you know, bread alone. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, how dare you tempt the Lord your God? He gave him scripture and he fought with that, right? The devil that we deal with today is after the cross. Jesus already was crucified on the cross, descended into hell, and Hebrews says, left nothing of the devil, left nothing of him, left him powerless before us. He doesn't have authority. We're dealing with a devil that doesn't have authority over us anymore. He likes to make you think that he does. He likes to whisper in your ear that you will always be bound, that it will never change, that you're never going to make more money, that he's never going to love you, that it's never going to come together. And he's a liar, and he's a deceiver, and he's a confuser and an author of lying. Okay? That's not the devil that we deal with. We deal with a broken, defeated devil. We have a king who has crushed the serpent's head. He has a heel. And with that heel has crushed the serpent's head. And we live in that authority. When Jesus left the planet and ascended, he said, Go and make disciples, and I'll be with you always. And you know what else? All authority in heaven and where? On earth has been given to me. And do you know who he gave it to? Us. Who enforces the law? The authorities enforce the law. Who is the authority? You. It is time to enforce the authority that is God-given on us. First of all, in our own homes. Charity begins at home, and so does house cleaning. You want to walk around and be a man or woman of God? You want your voice to matter? You want to speak out truth and love everywhere that you go? See, when that woman called me on the phone and she said, "You're a prophet trapped in a pastor's body," all I could hear was grace and love at the same time, because those are some of the most powerful gifts you can have. If you can speak a word of truth and it's motivated by love, chains come off of people. Lives start to open up. It starts to make sense. This whole gospel, oh, it's free, but it costs me everything. I just come to God, and I take the gift of salvation, and then I give my entire life back, and I live for him. And that's how we find kingdom authority, through obedience. Okay. So for me, back in those days, when I first, gosh, it was 1986. No, we got married in 87. 1986, me and this man lived together. We did not care that we lived together. We knew that it was wrong, morally. We didn't care. We slept together. We didn't care. We had no conviction, no moral code. Until he came. And he started to speak to us. We were sitting in a church just like this. And it was a bigger church. And we were sitting like near the back. And I remember we looked at each other and we go, "We live together after the thing. What are we doing?" And we got married. We went to the Justice of the Peace. It was a snowy, sleety day in December. It was the most beautiful day. And we said, "I do." And we said, "We're not going to live intentionally in sin before the Lord. How can the Lord bless something that is in contrast to what his will is? He can't do it." And so he breaks the chain off of you. Remember what a covenant is? Blood and promises. So he's already provided the blood portion. How about that? And he's already provided the promise. And our part is obedience and surrender and stepping up with our badge on and our voice bold to declare, "No more." We're not going to live in broken down palaces and full of sin and full of, you know, insecurity and fear. That's not our life. That is not the life that the Lord has meant. Is anybody with me today?
Yeah.
So for me, I had a brother that got saved, and he's loud and radical. Just because you're loud doesn't mean you're powerful, okay? He happens to be loud and powerful, but some people are just loud. And I don't think that's the heart of the Lord for today. I think the heart of the Lord for today is for us to understand that everything that Jesus has done is finished. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, because he will have the final say in everything. And then he makes a way for us to follow. Okay, so for me, my brother was staying with us. Something was wrong with his car, and we were taking him back and forth to work. And he was making me listen to this music. I wish Johnny was here today, because he would love this part. He made me listen to this, because we were heavy metal. We liked heavy metal. We were headbangers, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. And God reached his hand way down in the middle of that mess and pulled us up and set us on a rock and said, "Clean." And delivered us from all kinds of mess. And so, you know, I was like, how am I going to not listen to this music? So my brother brought me some music that was like Striper. And it was like White Snake. That's not White Snake. What was it? White Cross. Yeah, White Snake was actually the one we listened to before the White Cross. But it was like God showing us an alternative. And these people are praising God with this kind of music. And now I listen to it and I'm like, that music is horrible. I can't even believe I let my brain listen to it, you know. But it was a transitional piece into it. No, Christian rock is one, whatever. It's not what it's about. It was a transitional thing to get us to the place of glory and to get those old words and lyrics off of our mind. Now look, does that mean I never pull out my old ZZ Top or, you know, I don't know, some of my metal stuff? No, of course I do. If it comes on in the car, we sing it. And even the cuss word will play and we'll sing a different word over it. That's how redeemed we are. But we're not so holy that we turned it off, okay? I mean, we just don't. But the thing is that God moved in to set us free from things that were breaking us. If you constantly are listening to music that is talking about fornication and adultery and, you know, whatever, bananas and whatever else they want to use in the terminology, and you're digging it and you're singing it at the top of your lungs, that is going into your soul, saint. It is going on to your spirit, your eyes and your ears and everything that is collecting in the middle. And God wants us to wipe that stuff off out of our life. If you've had multiple partners in your life, there are things that happen to your soul. You create a soul tie with someone if your body has gone here and there and everywhere. And let me just say, if your mind has gone here and there and everywhere, you have the same soul ties. There's no condemnation in it. It's the word of the Lord to come and say, let me gather you and bring you over here because you're vivid and you're wild and you like expression. Let me turn you into some kind of, you know, man of God like Enoch or some kind of Ezekiel. Let me stir up the prophetic things in you because you have a wonder about your mind. That's the way that God does it. But he breaks the old covenant first and then he sets the new covenant on you. Does that make sense, church? So I wake up one morning, my brother's staying with us, and played this music, this rock music that was, I mean, it was good at the time. And it had a song, a little line in the lyric. I'm playing it, I'm doing the dishes. And my brother and my husband are in the other room talking. And over the top of the music, that the spiritual thing happened where the word was saying, you will never be alone. And it was kind of like a guitar piercing kind of word and that band White Cross. And but I heard something else. And it was like a cringy metal scraping sound on top of that, and it put chills on my body, and I turned around and there's nothing there. I go into the living room. I'm like, you guys, I'm freaking out. I feel like something's up. I don't know what it is. I start describing it. My brother's like, well, that's probably a demon trying to come in here and take away the joy of the Lord that you found. Because what is the scripture that Jesus gave us about the parables? You know, the word is sown in our heart. And different kinds of circumstances will try to pluck up that word as soon as we hear it. The enemy will try to pick it up like seed off the ground. He'll try to pick it like grass. He'll try to get it away from you before it has time to grow in you. So you end up circling around doing the same things over and over again. Woe is me and poor me, and complain about everybody and even the people you love, and you never rise above it. Remain in the complain. And God wants that to come off of us, so that we don't live in an old covenant where we are complaining constantly. You know why? Because your mouth is creative the same way he's creative. He wants that broken off of you. That's not for us. We are the life givers and life breathers with our words. We have to learn how to speak. So anyway, I get up out of bed. I'm going to get this out, Lord. I promise. Help me, Jesus. Okay, so I come in there and I tell him, I don't know if it is. My husband's kind of leery. He's like, there's no demons in here. We're saved. We're Christians, man. You know, we're not even partying anymore. We're just like, what are you talking about? My brother goes, I don't know. She's the one feeling it. Let's walk around the house. And he taught me this thing he learned about creating a bloodline around your home. We do it around this property, so it would be the Lord's. We declare it the Lord's. And so we walk around my entire episode's townhouse, every inch, corner to corner. We took oil. You can use olive oil, any oil that you have. Why oil? Because it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit and his power. It's a symbol like blood that you put on doorpost. That everywhere that it is, the Holy Spirit is here and evil cannot pass. It's like putting Gandalf the White in front of your door and saying, you shall not pass, one more time. The authority enforcing the law. You shall not come here. This belongs to the Lord. Is anybody tracking with me? Because this is going to be what we're doing today. This is it. So we put this oil from corner to corner in the name of Jesus. I found some scriptures that were really good. You shall call your gate praise. You shall call your walls a blessing. You shall call your walls worship and blessing. People come in my house all the time and say, man, it feels so good in here. I feel like I could live here. I'm like, yeah, it's good. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of battle to get peace. So that's why when somebody come in and try to mess around with my peace, I'll be like, nope, no. You don't know what it cost me to get this peace, and you are not going to come in here and mess it up. And then we speak life, and we speak words, and we speak deliverance, just like we're doing right now, okay? So we went around, and we did that, and I'll tell you what. Do we still live together? We still live together. Were we married then? I can't remember. Maybe we were. But whatever, it was really early in those days, 38 years ago. And I remember I lay next to him in bed that night, and I looked up and I was like, wow, I felt lighter exercising authority. having that oil in my home. And I trusted it. I trusted that the Lord was going to be there. And the next morning I wake up and they're already gone. They already left, you know, it's already over. They're out the door for work. And I wake up and it's like I have this presence like right on me, and it's like fear and anxiety. I'm not even out of bed. I'm laying in bed and I open my eyes. They're not here. What are you going to do now? That was my thought. You're alone. I got you. And fear. So I throw the covers off and I'm like, I'm not going back to that. I am not going back to that suffering place. Not, no. I throw the covers off. I walk around the stairs to the townhouse. The front door goes boom. I'm like, oh my God. I'm walking down the stairs. I'm like, I don't know. Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do with this. I'm not alone. I know you're with me. I know you're with me all the days of my life. I'm freaking out. Where's the authority? Where's the kingdom stuff? Where's the blood? And I walk to the dining table. My brother left me a little note there, had the Bible open. That's where I heard those weird sounds that night before, where we, you know, it's where we ended up praying the night before. And the note said, when, not if, when the devil comes to torment you and try to make you his own again, read this. He doesn't like it and he will leave. And it was Revelation 22. Said, and I saw an angel of the Lord come and put a chain on that serpent, the devil, who was long ago, and bound him for 1,000 years. And I just started reading this stuff. And it did ease. And I could feel it leaving. I could feel it going like this. And I'm like, yeah, you better run. You better get right out of this house in the name of Jesus. And the Lord, there will be no more tears and no gnashing of teeth and no power. And Jesus has made you powerless. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you are made of. You don't have to sit there and take it one more day. The devil is a liar. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you. And I want to show you how to speak to the things that are offensive, that are binding you, that have made you bound. And I want you to be bold enough to come up here right now and tell me what it is. And if you don't do that, I'm going to tell you what it is, and then we're going to do it that way. So it's your choice how we do this. But it's, if you come on your own merit and you come up here and you want to see the demonstration of the Lord, I don't have any power. I'm just a little girl standing here on the corner of Morgan Ford and Germania asking the Lord to let my people go. Yeah. How can you eat from the table that the Lord set if you are bound and gagged? Well, if you are bound and gagged after today, that will be your choice. You can be as free as you want to be. You can go as far down the rabbit trail with Jesus as you want to go. We don't need music. We don't need anything. We just need you to be bold enough to say, I don't want to live one more day with this shame on my life. I don't want to look at a screen I shouldn't look at one more time. I want to be bought with a price. I don't want to worry about poverty one more second of my life. I want to live like a kingdom person that brings deliverance and freedom and grace and gratitude, not getting fat on the anointing, sitting here week after week, taking and taking and taking. I want to be a giver. I don't want to be broken about the tithe. Lord, I don't want to be angry because men and women give a tithe. Break that thing off of me, whatever it is. What is it that is in you that you need help for? This is your place right here. Come right here. This is it. Look. It's like trying to push a brick building that weighs like, I don't know, an infinite amount of weight. And I can't move it by myself. I can't move it. It's there though, man. Look, you look so good. Thank you. So just after that, you know, it's like God will continue to speak to us after we leave here today. This is not the message that we planned. We planned on talking about being grafted in. We are going to talk about that next week, aren't we? We're talking about that next week, I think. Okay, I think we are. Okay, so break old covenants. Yeah. Break them. Yes. With your mouth. Yeah. And your home and your word of God. Set up the boundaries again and push the kingdom of darkness back. Do you know, ever since that lady called me, I have prayers that I pray every morning. And they sound like, you know, they start with just beautiful. God, you're so beautiful. You're so holy and you're so good. Thank you for my life. Thank you for today. Thank you for this air, you know, all that kind of stuff. Father, thank you for my home. All this gratitude pours out. And then, Lord, what is my assignment today? Who do you want me to talk to today? Who should I spend my time with? Where should my feet be? Where should my mind be? What do you want me to write? What, you know, that kind of stuff before I get up. And now, and I've added this, as soon as I put my feet over the side of the bed, I go, back, kingdom of darkness. Back. the Lord is in charge here. We're not living. I'm like, where have I been? That's how I feel in these days. Where have I been? You know, back, kingdom of darkness. I'm not going to follow the dictate of the enemy. Not one more day, and you shouldn't either. We are bought with a price. We're the carriers of God's glory in the earth today. Our families are counting on us. Our children are counting on us. Our grandkids, you know, our community is counting on us to make a declaration that the word of the Lord is good and true and right, and that we live in his freedom. Right? Yes. Be free, saints. In the name of Jesus, I pray those prayers of rings of fire around about you, that no enemy that would dare to come against you can succeed, in the name of Jesus. I pray for grieving. I know grieving is taking place right now. I pray for comfort to come in the place of it, that we don't get lost in grief, that we can see the glory of God on the other side. I pray just for finances that are broken. That's a poverty spirit, and it doesn't belong to the sons and daughters of God. We're actually royalty. We have gold at our fingertips. We have crowns. We have jewels. They're spiritual, all right? And they belong to us. I pray for a poverty mindset to break. Won't he do it? Let's not be ashamed, and let's not think that he will do it for someone else, but not for us, not one more day. He's a good God, and he's a loving God, and he's put his authority on you like a seal. Now you go carry it. You be the ambassadors of God that you're supposed to be, and I love you a lot. Next week, we're going to baptize some young people. I hope you'll all be here. It's going to be an amazing time, and have a great week. That's it.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.